Bucks Uncensored is brought to you by Bricado's Sandwich Shop, home of the best devil crabs in town. Yum! 5021 East Columbus Drive in Tampa, right next to Ybor City. When you go by there, and I know you will, don't forget to try that devil crab. Bucks Uncensored is also brought to you by Sports Legends Bar and Grill, home of the commish's 2017 NFL Draft Party, where stick carriers unite. Sports Legends Bar and Grill on the corner of US 19 and Drew in Clearwater. Sports Legends, where you can eat like a legend.
I'm tired of getting disrespected. I'm tired of low expectations. I know what we're about. I know what we're about. I know how great we are. Let's keep stacking them W's and let's do it as a family. Let's get it.
Oh, doctor. Tiptoeing along the sideline is Brent Grimes. Did he stay in bounds? One official looks at the other, and it is signaled a touchdown. Winston throws, and that is a touchdown for Evan.
Right back into this. Speak softly, carry a big mother.
Bucks Uncensored, it's Justin Pawlowski, the commish. Love all of you that subscribe to this podcast. Look forward to it 3 times a week, all year round. Mondays, Wednesdays, Saturdays, JoeBucksFan.com, first thing in the morning. You subscribe to the podcast, you get it to your phone at noon each of those days. We're going to break this thing out. Our first of two podcasts during the NFL Combine. And then I was talking to my buddy Christian. You've heard Christian on the podcast. He reminded me that, yo, commish, you know you're going to have, you know you're going to have a podcast on free agency eve? I go, well, fuck my brains. Oh, man. So good. So good. So I get a podcast free agency eve, and then free agency starts, and I get one on Saturday? Are you kidding? Oh, this is going to be a good week. It's going to be a good week of the podcast. But we got Combine talk. We'll have Lee DeKemper on. He's one of the Joes at JoeBucksFan.com. He will be joining us from Indianapolis. He is up there and all fired up for the weekend. He was there recording this, obviously, Friday night, which it's Friday night. You never know what happens on a Friday night podcast because I've already had my B4. So I am, let's go. The goose is loose, like I'd like to say. Combine, running backs ran. That was something, huh? How long did people freak out on Twitter when Fournette ran, did like a 28-inch vertical? Oh, my God. I can only imagine. People were freaking out. Weren't they? I wasn't even on Twitter. I haven't been on Twitter. I got shit going on. I haven't been on Twitter as much as I had been in the past. But tell me, was it ugly? For how long? An hour? 2 hours? Then the guy runs a 4.540 at 240 pounds. Okay. Okay. He's good. He's good. Dalvin Cook runs a 4.5 40. Christian McCaffrey runs a 4.48. They all ran about 4.5. They all ran about 4.5. Marlon Mack ran about 4.5. 4.5 across the board. So did that distinguish any of them? No. It's a good class of running backs. It really is. You want a power back. You want a Perine, or you want a James Conner. They ran in the 4.6s. You want any of the backs I just mentioned right around 4.5. I mean, that's about it. But it's a really good class of running backs this year. Really good class, and the Bucks are going to get one of them. You mark my words on that. Got to get a running back. Got to get a running back. Got to get a running back to help Jameis Winston. Not only running football, but, you know, just giving him another weapon, man. That's what it's about. W for W. Know what I'm saying? Got a lot of good Bucks takes tonight, this podcast. We're going to get some Bucks takes in first. Then we'll have Leon from the Combine. He's not only going to give us the latest of what's going on in Indianapolis, what he's seen from some of the players, but he's going to give us the latest Bucks news. We all know you've read the stories, Jason Light, Dirk Cutter, they've all talked. I'm going to try and avoid the fluffy bullshit, and we're going to just get down to the nitty-gritty. I need to know who they're signing. I need to know who they're going after. I need to know who's remaining on the team and what free agents, their free agents, they're going to try and re-sign. We need to get to the bottom of this shit, and we'll do it on this podcast right here, right now. I haven't touched base with Luke Easterling. I know that he's a busy guy. I'm going to try and get Luke on the next podcast from thedraftwire.com. And I actually have a couple of Bucks takes praising him for his podcast work as well. But we'll try and get Luke on the next podcast to continue the Combine talk, and then we will fly into free agency frenzy week. It's going to be amazing. Let's start with Sean. Hey, Sean.
Kamish, what up? It's Sean from Carolina. Just here for a little Combine talk, man. A little Combine talk. Anyway, I love the Combine, man. It goes deep, man. You get to see these cats put it really all on the line. I mean, basically, it's like hanging fucking dollar signs in the air. I mean, if you really want to look at it that way, because you got all of these cats showcasing themselves for an opportunity. You got people flying up the draft board. On the other side, you got people who may hurt themselves by not performing their best, because their pro days are really tailored to make them showcase their best skills. You know what I mean? At the Combine, it's really all or nothing. You got interviews, you got workouts, and then you got the on-field drills. And you really see cats, you know, kind of shoot up the draft boards. You get to see all these people that you've been reading about, watching perform under the microscope for the first time with all of the NFL teams there. So that's why the Combine is very important. You know, I'm a East Carolina alum, and just as a point of reference, that's why all of you who know back in the day, CJ2K, yeah, I got to see him all 4 years up close and personal. So I knew what it was. And then you see him run a 4.21 at the 40, and that's why he's a first round pick. You know what I mean? Like, that's just one instance of that. But that's where he made his money, is at the Combine running that 4.21 40. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, people like Ali Marpet, you know, you got to see him. Jason Light was licking his chops, and that's why we moved up to get him. I mean, I could go on about people and steals all day, man, but that's why the Combine matters. You really get to see people show up and show out and make themselves some fucking money who may have not even gotten a second look, you know, going from the third round to up to the second round, or even the first round, or even dropping. So, I mean, so many ways to look at it, man. I love the Combine. Bring it on. I'll be watching. It is a little weird to see dudes so amped up about seeing other dudes run around in tights, man. But, yeah, you know, you gotta get that out your mind, man. You gotta get that out your mind. It's strictly for a football aspect. So people from the outside looking in don't really get that, but, you know, fuck them. So, you know, that's it for me. Stick carriers, you know what it is. Carry that big motherfucking stick. B4, Bricados, Sports Legends, y'all support them, man, because when I come to Tampa, I'm eating at all three. Really? I'm doing it all. So take care of yourselves, and let's go Bucks.
Let's go Bucks. Appreciate it. Thanks, Sean, checking in on the Combine. He's right, man. He's right. Combine's important. I'm so tired all these years of people saying, Combine doesn't mean anything. I think one of them is going to be joining us later, Lita Kemper. You know, he calls it underwear Olympics. I get it. But testing's important. You know, it's not the end-all, be-all. But it's one of the first parts of the process. And that's good. Because I need to know, you know, if a guy's not explosive, or he doesn't run a fast 40, or he doesn't lift, lift well. Is he strong enough? Is he fast enough? Is he explosive enough? You know, that's where all the numbers come. You're not drafting a guy based solely on the combine. If you are, you're a loser and you're out of the NFL and you're not making decisions anymore. But you are using the combine to your advantage. If the combine wasn't important, they wouldn't have it. Mark my words on that. Sean, appreciate it. It is very, very important. Let's go out to the Midwest. Will is there.
Justin! Will in the Midwest, man. Just wanted to chime on my Bucks take. I know my fucking Bucks takes have been long as fuck lately. My apologies, Justin. So I'm going to go ahead and keep this one short. First of all, I just want to give a plug for your boy Luke Easterling and the Locked On Draft podcast. Any stick carries out there just looking to be educated, in people that are coming out in the draft this year, position by position. Great analysis, just fucking excellent stuff. I've always loved, you know, even back when you and Luke were doing your thing just last year, anything to do with him in the draft is an A+. So go ahead and check that out. My next thing, Justin, is it's more of a question. So I just seen it pop up on my phone that the Titans are willing to trade away the 5th overall pick. And we all know, it's probably been said a million times, of course, John Robinson and Jason Light have a relationship there. So do you think, Justin, that Jason Light will attempt to trade up to that number 5 pick to get Dalvin Cook if everything through the draft process goes as planned, and he's everything they think in a bag of potato chips? So there you go, Justin. That was my question. If you want to, cue up the Phil Collins. I love what you do, man. You know that. Take care of yourself, Kamish. And go Bucks, baby!
Did he say what I think he said?
Great question, Justin.
I'm tweeting it out.
I don't understand Polish.
But the sweating continued.
Thanks, Jason.
I love being with you and answering all your tough questions.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great question.
He's going to be still the tallest of an offense that has big, big height on it. Crushed it!
Question time. The question was, do I feel the Bucks will be trading up with the Tennessee Titans and Jason Light's former right-hand man, John Robinson, for the 5th pick in the NFL draft to take Dalvin Cook? I don't know, man. There's a safety out of LSU. It'd be nice. Hell, there's a running back out of LSU. It'd be nice over Dalvin Cook. I'm sorry, man. 240 running a 4.5. I know he's got injury. Probably, listen, Dalvin Cook's got some injury issues. You know what I'm saying? No, I don't see the Bucks trading up to number 5 in this draft. I hate to burst anyone's bubble. I just don't see it happening. I could see them trading up somewhere in the teens, but trading up from 19 to 5, I don't think the Bucks are ready to give up a first rounder next year, do you? Now with all this young talent, you want to keep building that young talent. You know, they're not a player away. You know, you get to a point where it's like, okay, I can trade up to the 5th pick and get a Julio Jones, a guy who's 6'4", 230, runs a 4.44. Okay, now we're talking. Now we're talking about some serious shit. But, listen, Dalvin Cook, Leonard Fournette, I'm not opposed to drafting a running back in the first round. I'm not even opposed to trading up a few slots into the teens, into the early teens, to getting one. I get it. But that's a big jump for a running back. And I just don't see another player worthy of that big of a leap. That's a leap of faith right there. Not when you can just stay put, get someone in the teens, somebody right there at 19, or even trade back. And I mentioned this earlier to Christian when I was on the phone with him. I said, I'm telling you right now, man, if they don't end up with a running back in the first round, and I know Christian McCaffrey's name is, well, they're going to get Christian McCaffrey. Okay, they might. I don't know. Dalvin Cook, I don't know. I wouldn't sleep on a Marlon Mack. And I was thinking like Marlon Mack in the third round, but if they really like Marlon Mack out of USF, and I saw every game Marlon Mack played, he's a home run hitter. He's not a between the tackles type runner. At least he wasn't from what I saw. The only time he was running between the tackles was when he had a gaping hole. He wasn't creating anything himself between the tackles. But if the Bucks like Marlon Mack, I could very well see a scenario the same way it's played out with the Bucks the last two drafts, where they take that third round pick and they package other picks and move up either into the early third round or late second round to make sure they get Marlon Mack. I still think Marlon Mack is a late third, early fourth, but if that's a guy they want, and we all know the need at running back, that wouldn't surprise me either. Keep an eye on that. The good news is you still have 2 months to do it. Speaking of 2 months, the draft party is in full effect, right? Everyone's all pumped up about sports legends, the draft party, before, before, after, no hangover, then do it all the next day, right? I mean, it's two nights of partying at sports legends. It's going to be amazing. With that said, can I tell you something that the guys at Leo at Sports Legends told me? He said, you're not going to believe this. He told me, he's like, Kamish, 30 tables have been reserved? That's crazy. We've got, folks, it's the beginning of March. 30 people have called up to reserve seats and tables. 30? This party is going to be crunk. Lit. Fire. I mean, if you guys are that wound up, if you guys are that fired up now, wait until we get into April. Wait until we're a week out. It's going to be insane. Call Sports Legends. Go there for lunch. Reserve your table. Get it done now. They've got outdoor seating. They got indoor seating. They got indoor seating at the bar. They got an outdoor bar. Like, it's going to be crazy. Just know this. I'm not sitting at a table. I'll be at the bar. I'll be wandering around. I'm not sitting at a table. Honestly, I think the last draft party I was at, I didn't even sit the whole time. I was too amped. And that was when they took Jameis Winston with the first overall pick. Man, they got the 19th pick now. Tyler's up. Hey, Tyler.
What's up, Kamish? It's Tyler coming at you from FSU with my first ever Bucks take. You guys have talked a lot about free agency and the draft lately, so I thought I'd chime in on that. You talked about bringing in a D-tackle, possibly to complement McCoy in the middle of that defensive line. I think Calais Campbell is a really good defensive tackle that we could bring in, really help out rushing the passer. As for wide receivers, I think DeSean Jackson, who a lot of people have thought to bring in, I think he likely re-signs with the Eagles where he started, but not too high on many other receivers, maybe Terrell Pryor or Kendall Wright from Tennessee. But as for the draft, I'm real high on Dalvin Cook. I think it's looking more like it's going to be impossible not to have to trade up to get him, and I think it would be worth it if we don't have to give up too many picks. There's a lot of good receivers in this draft. Good depth at receiver. Guys like Chris Godwin from Penn State, Josh Reynolds from Texas A&M, Sheldon Gibson from West Virginia. I think all those are guys that are good mid-round talented receiver that we could bring in too to really help out. But to finish this up, shout out to Lou. You're the man. Shout out to Bricados and Sports Legends. You guys got to check those places out if you're ever in the Tampa area. And as always, speak softly and carry a big motherfucking stick.
Man, oh man. Tyler, appreciate it. And that was his first ever Bucks take on the Bucks Uncensored podcast. Tyler, you nailed it. And just for that, and the shout out to Lou, I'll go ahead and follow yours with Lou.
Justin, Lou in Port Richey, man. Listen, man, I seen that they didn't franchise tag Poe. So, you know, I'm kind of concerned about that. Man, why wouldn't they, man? You know what I'm saying? So it just brings up a couple of concerns and questions, man, that, you know, why they didn't go after him, man, and tag him. So, you know, you got Jamal Charles, AP out there, man. You know, could be something to look into, man. But, you know, it all depends for the right price, man. If these guys are looking to break the bank, dude, there's too many running backs, bro. Too many running backs in the draft, man, that are younger and can make an impact, man. And we could go, you know, like Gil says, shook for cook, man. If we can get that cap, man, I think that would be wise. So, you know, looking forward to the combine, man, and looking forward to you talking to Lee. And should be some decent nuggets Lee will bring, man, from Joe Bucks fan. So we'll see what happens, man. Anyway, that's my Bucks take, man. I just want to update you guys from situation at work, bro. Sensitivity fucking training, man. This is fucking bullshit, man. This PC shit is getting fucking way out of fucking hand. But, you know, it's the fucking way of the world right now, man. Fucking dose of reality. I mean, if you think about it, man, if I didn't work at such small office, man, I couldn't talk the smack that I talk, bro. You know, if I work in a big one, bro, you know what I'm saying? I couldn't be even a quarter, you know what I'm saying? But... You know, I find myself doing a Lou therapeutic minute, bro, every so often. I got to walk out to the company vehicle and be like, fuck! But, you know, if I got to talk to the fellas, man, I pull them outside, man, and we'd be like, you know, hey, man, you hear about this motherfucker, man? And what he fucking said? He said A, B, C. Supervisor shows up. Got to switch it up. We're like, well, the issues at hand that we're viewing do not quantify the results, and so we need to diminish the concerns and rectify the situation and verify the process so we can diminish any concerns that we have at hand. You know, I gotta bullshit just how I bullshit, man. And you know, I'm still gonna fucking bust some chops, man. But you know, I just gotta be smarter about it, bro. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, bro, I gotta keep my fucking job, bro. You know what I'm saying? I got kids and a wife, man. I gotta, you know, that's my main concern. That's why I'm at work every day. That's what gets me up every day, brother. But so be it, man. So be it. Whatever, man. Anyway, man, dude, Ira, go check him out, man, on his podcast. B4, because you don't want a fucking hangover. Bricados, because the food's so good. Headlines Barbershop, man. Go see Christian, man. He'll get you right. And brothers, I'll see your asses over at the 2017 Bucks Uncensored Draft Party! And it's going to be at Sports Legends where you eat like a legend and we're going to fucking drink like fucking champs. As always, always speak softly and carry the big motherfucking stick!
That was his best stick ever. My God.
Lou, you're my boy!
Yes, he is. Phenomenal. I don't think Poe got franchised, though, because that franchise tag, Lou, I mean, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. Hey, what's the deal with Will Golston? Are we going to re-sign him or what? God. Oh, we're not talking about that yet. We'll talk about it. We're not talking about it yet. Eric in Texas. Hey, Eric.
What's up, Kamish? Eric in Texas. So I just read where Brandon Marshall is going to be released. I think the Bucks should at least kick the tires on it, see what kind of money he wants, or if he wants to come back to Florida and play. I mean, I think he would be a solid compliment to Mike. Obviously, he won't, you know, be your explosive stretch the field receiver, but he's another big body. And, you know, he's still got a few years to play. And I don't know. I think he's worth a look at least. Also, Combine weekend. I've been seeing a few mock drafts where they got my boy KD Cannon to the Bucks in the fifth or sixth round or whatever. I hope it's true. That kid's going to be a stud. As always, keep up the good work. Wish I could make it to the draft party, but, hell, got other priorities.
Perfect.
Anyways, have a good one.
Perfect. I mean, he is in Texas, so I mean, what? I mean, what did he say about the draft party again?
Wish I could make it to the draft party, but, hell, got other priorities.
Okay. kind of makes me feel like my priorities are all out of whack. Nope. Not at all. Oh, boy. KD Cannon loves him. I think he sent me another email on KD Cannon. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Justin. This is Mike up in Michigan. Just wanted to say this is my first time sending you in a voice memo, but...
First time, long time.
I want to talk to you about the AP thing. I didn't get a chance to send this in earlier for the Wednesday podcast, but I want to say something about it. I don't really care if it gets published or not. If we want to keep Doug Martin, we need to bring in Adrian Peterson. He needs to guide that dude. Adrian Peterson's the only running back that I know of that's faced that kind of adversity and being shunned and come back and had like a career high, not even a career high, but a season high at least. So if we're going to keep Doug Martin, we got to bring in Adrian Peterson. But if our plan is to use Doug Martin as like a trade bargain in the draft so we could get a higher pick, then I don't think they're going to bring in Adrian Peterson, and that's not nothing we're going to have to worry about. Just tell me your thoughts, message me back, email me back, or if you want to play this, cool.
Played it.
But that's what I got to say. Let's fire them cannons in Tampa.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what they're going to do at running back. All I know is that they need a running back. And, you know, if they look at a Latavius Murray, yeah, I think here's the thing. I don't know if they're going to go after an Adrian Peterson just because of his age. Eddie Lacy will be out there. Yeah, his weight. You know, but a Latavius Murray who played at UCF is interesting if their plan is maybe get a Murray and a Marlon Mack. Now, I know a lot of you are Dalvin Cook fans, but that's not bad. Latavius Murray, Marlon Mack, two-headed monster at running back now. Then it opens up you to be able to get whoever you want in the first round. You just got to make sure you get Marlon Mack, right? So that's where that third round moving up comes into play, which leaves you open to first and second round picks at other positions. Safety, corner, defensive line, wide receiver. A lot of options in that scenario, right? So... I get it. Listen, I get it. Trust me. I am a big fan of Dalvin Cook. I love the fact that his dream is to play with James. I love that. But I've also followed the draft for many, many years. When you have the 19th pick, try not to lock on to one guy. Because if you lock on to one guy, you're probably going to find yourself being disappointed. And I don't want that for you.
Justin, Javis wins. What'd he do?
I'm fucking salivating over the thought of us getting Dalvin Cook. I'm just saying,
I have a feeling that he may fall a little bit. And how about in the second round, us taking Jabril Peppers as a linebacker?
Oh, no.
No, he didn't.
Yeah. No, he didn't.
I don't see why everybody's so down on the kid, because he knows how to play every position. That doesn't really make any sense. I'm pretty sure Jim Harbaugh got him right for the NFL.
Cannot believe you said that. Oh, I can't believe that you went there. I just can't.
See the first fucker that comes on here and says they want to take Jabril Peppers? Tell them to get the fuck out of here. That guy is going to be a fucking bust.
Well, in your face. Frank in Dallas is up with us. Hey, Frank.
What's going on, Justin? This is Frank in Dallas. Try to keep it short and simple to the point. I moved on from the initial thought of Jamar Charles. I think we should stick with Latavius Murray on a good 3-year, 4-year deal and still draft the running back. But the player I really, really, really want us to get, I feel this is like one of the biggest moves we can make, is signing Cordell Patterson. If we can get Cordell Patterson, I really feel we have us a legitimate number two receiver, a legitimate return man, and he has speed. This pick is solely on the Jameis effect. I understand we have coaches, but I really believe that Jameis can get to this dude and help us get something out of him. On defense, I really like A.J. Boye and Tony Jefferson. But y'all have fun out there, sports legends. Justin, appreciate the podcast. And everybody stay safe.
I love it. I love it. A.J. Boye, nobody's really mentioning him. I don't think he's getting the franchise tag. I'll tell you, you know, if the Bucks wanted to spend some money this free agency, I would, him or Stephon Gilmore, if they said, hey, listen, we've got an opportunity to get a talented corner that can come in, that we can play opposite of Brent Grimes and move Vernon Hargraves down to the slot. It's not the worst idea in the world. And it's not that Hargraves is bad. He's still young. Grimes isn't going to play much longer. You can still groom Hargraves to play on the outside eventually, but let's face it. I mean, a majority of the offenses you're going to go up against in the NFL are going to have 3 wide receiver sets. I'm not opposed to that at all, actually. You know, rather than drafting another young corner, you know, you can get a Boye who's on the rise or a Gilmore who's got some talent and ride with those guys. Interesting. Interesting concept. Lee from Joe Bucks Fans is going to be on with us here shortly. We'll talk some Bucks football with him and some combine. He's up there in Indianapolis. Delvin is up next, though, with
hey,
us.
Hey, Kamish. So I'm watching the combine right now at work. Yeah, at work. No productivity today. But anyways, couple running backs that stuck out to me. Marlon Mack did actually pretty good. Never watched him play. But, yeah, he's pretty shifty, man. And then other guys, I mean, last time I called in, I love Christian McCaffrey. I mean, the things you saw today, man, he's just fast as lightning, man. He's great. And then another guy that I think people don't really talk about too much is Joe Williams from Utah. He actually looked really, really good in drills. And I watched him play a couple games at Utah because I'm a Pac-12 guy. And I think that's the guy we should take a look at. So, all right, man. Well, let me know what you think.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you on Marlon Mack. I have a tough time seeing him as a feature back. I think he's a home run hitter. I think he's got to be part of a 2-back system in the NFL because he wasn't really the focal. How do I want to put this? He was the focal point of USF's offense, but boy, they really spread it around. And I'm a huge D'Ernest Johnson fan, and I think you all are going to be here. I'd be surprised if you're not hearing about him next year for the draft, because I think D'Ernest Johnson for USF was their backup running back, and he's more of an all-around running back, right? So he's got speed. He can return kicks and punts. He catches the ball better than most wide receivers out of the backfield. He runs with power, can run between the tackles, can break it outside, is a home run hitter. I mean, to me, D'Ernest Johnson does it all. For me, Marlon Mack does not do it all. He doesn't run between the tackles too much. He's not a good receiver, not a great receiver out of the backfield. So I think you take those into consideration. If you're looking for a home run hitter to pair with the more of an every down back, that's why I mentioned the Latavius Murray Marlon Mack pairing. It's pretty attractive to me for a team that is in need of running backs. Again, Lita Kemper on with us momentarily. Brandon is in Washington State.
Hey, Justin,
State.
This is Brandon from Washington State. Been a long-time listener, but this is my first attempt at a Bucks take. I listen every week, and when I'm on the road, by the time I stop, I always forget to send one in. But I thought I would pause the podcast real quick right before your Villains draft to send in a quick take. I wanted to say that I completely agree with what Lee was saying about drafting some defensive line help. Reason being, if you think, you know, having Noah Spence on one end and Robert Ayers and then potentially picking up someone like Calais Campbell and then drafting somebody like Barnett, like that right there is some serious depth at the line, especially for rotation. I think it would be great. Anyway, going to do my best to be more active, getting forgetful in my older age, but I want to say thank you for what you do with the podcast. I really appreciate it. It makes my time on the road that much more enjoyable. And also with pretty stoked about Luke Easterling being on there, with him recently taking over the Locked On NFL Draft podcast. If you guys don't listen to that, I would definitely recommend it because it is on point. Anyway, I'm about to hit my 90 seconds, so I will catch you guys next time. Fire the fucking cannons.
Whoa. I don't know if we'll go with that slogan, but fire the cannons might work. Yeah, Luke will be on. We'll at least get him on once a week during the month of April. Of course, this podcast is three times a week, and I still need to touch base with him to see if Monday's podcast will work for him to continue the combine talk. Lita Kemper in moments, but first, of course, we love Bercato's. Thank you to them for sponsoring this podcast. Sports Legends, host of the 2017 Commish's Draft Party, where Stick Carriers unite, corner of 19 and Drew in Clearwater. Looking forward to seeing all of you there. And, of course, B4. That is the drink you drink before you drink, and it avoids the hangover. It's some vitamins. It's delicious. It comes in a can, much like a Red Bull can. I love, love, love my Stick Carriers tweeting me pictures of their food that they get at Bercato's, the food they get at Sports Legends, and their B4 that they... by the way, you all drink a lot of B4 during the week. Like, what are you doing? Do you not have to work? Like, what's up with that? Or do you have to work and B4 saves you? If that's the case, don't forget to try that devil crab. All right, before we get to Lita Kemper from JoeBucksFan.com, we've got one more Bucks take to get in, and it's from our buddy, Garv.
Commish, Garv in Sarasota. Been a while. Back. JP Garv, at JP Garv on Twitter. Self-plug. Listen, talking about free agency in the draft, a guy I'm interested in, you may ask Lee about it, is John Rosh out of Washington. John Rosh, doesn't that sound like somebody out of Dallas? But anyway, he's the super fast guy. Could be the fastest guy since Chris Johnson. That intrigues me, and it intrigues me more than Deshaun Jackson or the guy from Washington for the money. When I'm hearing Stills getting $12 million possibly, I just think that's too much. It just unbalances the team. I'd like to stay young. I think it's very important. And I realize, of course, if Dalvin Cook is there, we'll take a running back first. But ask Lee what he thinks of John Rosh, if he's getting a lot of play, because that burning speed and those quick feet, I've seen films of his feet, he can really cut and go like the kid from Kansas City that strangled his pregnant girlfriend or whatever he did. But perfect. This guy's clean. But anyway, that's where I'm going with that this week. And hey, while you're at it, ask Lee, hey, unblock the Garv. Do me a favor. Unblock me from Joe Bucks fan. Good talking to you again, buddy. Looking forward to hearing the next podcast. I always listen. See ya.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and bring in from Indianapolis, there at the Combine, is our buddy Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee, I guess we'll start off with asking you, no, not about John Ross. Are you guys ever going to unblock Garv on Twitter?
Oh, I'm not so sure. I can't say either way. But what I can do, that's actually a perfect question by Garv, because what a lot of writers do here is there's like a big pool of people because there's so many players to interview. People volunteer, not because they really want to do this, but they volunteer to transcribe a specific player's full interview, like 20 minutes, and they put up on a website that only those writers have access to. So, you know, we pull together so we can get like, you know, how many, I don't know, 260, 300 players. So we have all their interviews in full we can have access to. And I volunteered to do John Ross today. So I was at his entire media session, his entire press conference. And he sort of impresses me. You know, a lot of people compare him to Antonio Brown, which gets my attention. The guy is super quick. You can't substitute speed. The thing that kind of spooks me about Ross is he's injury prone. He's had knee surgeries, and he claims his knees are fine. Obviously, he, you know, before the combine, he ran a 4.3. You know, you don't do that with bad knees. But, you know, he admitted that he's going to have shoulder surgery after the combine, and it's going to be dicey if he can actually play. Now, he claims he will, but the shoulder surgery he's having, generally it's like 4 or 5, maybe up to 6 months to recuperate. So you're looking at regular season being in jeopardy. Now, he claims that's not going to happen. He claims his knees, quote-unquote, are stable. I would like to hear something a little more encouraging than the word stable. But he's sickly quick, and he really, really intrigues me. And I think his injury, his rash of injuries is why he may go late first round, early second round. But the dude is a burner, and he can return. The only question is, if he's breaking down in college, that's not generally a good sign for the NFL.
That's true. And I guess I can ask you, and looking at this from the perspective of free agency before the draft, if the Bucs go out in free agency, and there's a whole slew of wide receivers out there, whether it's in, mm-hmm. I'll ask you about Brandon Marshall in a moment, but he's out there, and, you know, I've been very high on Kenny Britt. I'm not sure why he hasn't gotten more buzz leading up to free agency, or Pierre Garçon, whoever you want to throw out there. Let's say the Bucs get a number two in free agency, and you look to John Ross in the draft as a guy, a slot receiver with a ton of speed. What does that say for Adam Humphries? Because that question was posed to me. You know, the Bucs seem to really like Adam Humphries. Is he still a focal point and a part of this offense, or does he start to fade away if they do go out and address weapons for Winston and bring in two wide receivers this free agent or this this offseason?
That's a good question, and I think he does not fade away. And generally, if I'm wrong about something or I write something that's way out of control, like, you know, someone recently did about a certain quarterback.
Oh, God.
Ugh. I will get a text or a phone call. Generally not a phone call. I'll get a text or an email, and depending how severe it is, I mean, what I wrote, depending how severe it is, I'll either get smacked down or like, hey, no, you're not looking at it the right way, blah, blah, blah. There is no player on the Bucs roster, none, that if I write something negative about, gets a quicker reaction than Adam Humphries. I mean, they go to the nth degree to defend Adam Humphries. Like, you don't know what you're writing, you're not seeing it, blah, blah, blah. And you know what? To be fair, the last couple weeks of the season, Humphries started to show me, well, you know what? You know, maybe this guy is something. Nothing more than a slot receiver, don't get me wrong.
Sure.
He will never be a number two receiver in my eyes. But number three guy, a slot guy, I'm starting to see the signs. I'm starting to see a little bit of production. And one time I spoke with someone, a suit with the Bucks, and I was saying, you know, what's the point of even having this guy out there for punt returns? If your best attribute is safe, the hell with it. Don't put anybody back there and put an extra guy on the line, try to block the punt. And I was told, well, safe is actually good because a lot of guys don't know how to handle a punt, and they'll lose 5 or 10 yards or try to field the punt within the 5-yard line instead of letting it bounce in. So this gentleman was telling me, safe is actually smart in the NFL as far as punt returners. Like, okay, I see your point. But Humphries, he's the darling of the Bucs. Now, the people with the Bucs, they'll admit he's not the next Julian Edelman. He's not a Pro Bowler, but they think he's safe. They think he's talented. They think he can contribute. But I don't think that, you know, getting two receivers, which I agree with, I don't think getting two receivers is going to make Humphreys expendable, so to speak.
You know, and my response to that, to the same question, was, are we allergic to depth? I mean, this is an organization over the last 2 years that has had a lot of injuries at wide receiver, to where they've had to play undrafted free agents, guys that were on the street, Freddie Martino or Reedy, or before that Dante Dye. I mean, those are guys that should not, sorry to all of those guys, but they shouldn't be on the field if you have proper depth on your roster. And so why not address that depth in free agency, getting a free agent to come in the draft, sometime in the draft, getting a wide receiver to come in, and keeping Humphreys and having Mike Evans and whoever else is on your roster. You know, I mean, they started to get some guys some valuable playing time last year. And so now, instead of having Russell Shepard having to step up as the number two, now he's the number five or number six wide receiver on your roster, which is probably where he deserves to be. Special teams ace, a guy you don't really want playing offense, and he's only there in desperate situations. That's the approach I would take in free agency. So let me ask you this. Is Brandon Marshall destined to be a Buccaneer? I mean, the guy played at UCF right down the road.
Well, I don't know if he's destined, but as you stated earlier, he's certainly an upgrade from Dante Dye. Come on, I mean, give me a break.
God.
And obviously the Bucs, they have no depth. I mean, we're talking depth. They have done. They have done. When you're counting on a guy who a year ago was delivering patients to their medical appointments for a living, and now you expect him to contribute on an NFL field? I mean, come on. And that's Bernard Reedy, by the way. Nothing against Reedy, but let's be honest. If a guy's a decent football player, he's not delivering old ladies in wheelchairs to their dentist appointments. Come on. So Reedy, I mean, I like the guy, but they have no depth. Now, the cool thing about Indianapolis, and Roy Cummings years ago talked me into going to the combine, is one of the best pieces of advice I ever got. But the thing that Roy admits he doesn't do, and I'm not saying I do it on purpose, but it's kind of cool nonetheless. In downtown Indianapolis is kind of a small downtown, and you've got hundreds of NFL people that are here. You literally cannot go out at night without running into someone from the NFL. It might be scouts who are all over the place. It might be assistant coaches. Like this afternoon, I stopped for a beer after the combine before I went to my hotel. And I don't know for sure, but I swear Rich Bisaccia was at the table next to me. You know, former Bucs special teams coach. I believe he's with Dallas. I mean, coaches all over the place. I ran into Dirk Cutter at a restaurant. These guys are all over the joint. Well, last night I ran through, and I won't mention their names because they're not expecting what I'm going to say to be public information. I ran into a respected NFL head coach, a respected NFL general manager, and a former All-Pro receiver who works in football. He doesn't work for an NFL team, but he's involved with NFL, let's put it that way. I talked to all three of them. The coach told me, he said, you know, I asked him, I said, does Brandon Marshall have anything left in the tank? And he said he could still play, but he's not the same receiver he once was, which that's expected. Was he 33, I think?
Sure.
Yeah. I talked to the GM, who pretty much said the same thing as the coach. And when I talked to the former All-Pro receiver, I asked him, I said, hey, can Brandon Marshall still play? He thought for a brief second, and he kind of nodded his head up and down, and he said, he could still play. So would I welcome Marshall with the Bucs? You're darn right, but you know, you can't bank on him long-term, which is, to getting your point, you get a couple free agents, at least one, and as Jason Light showed last year, he's not afraid to draft high with players at the same position that he got free agents with, to use those free agents as bridge players, heirs, Brent Grimes, and then Light goes out, he drafts Noah Spence, he drafts Vernon Hargraves, and I think we can expect the same to happen. Now, how high up they draft the receiver, I'm not sure, but I can tell you this. Cutter had all kinds of media responsibilities Wednesday. He was all over the place. He must have spent 4 hours talking to various media platforms, whether it's the NFL radio, Tampa Bay reporters in a private session, his press conference with all the media. He was all over the place. And if I had a dollar for every time he whined about receivers, I'd be spending all sorts of money at a bar tonight in Indianapolis buying people drinks for free. I mean, all day long, he kept mentioning how they need a receiver. And that's just what he was telling us. Imagine, you know, his office isn't far down from Jason Light's office. Imagine every day, I'm sure, he's, Jason, I need a receiver. Jason, I need a receiver. Jason, will you get me a receiver?
Well, you know, and it is funny. And I was looking at this draft. We've had some really, really good receiver drafts over the last couple of years. This one, I'm kind of like, I don't know. I don't get the same feeling that I've gotten in the previous maybe three drafts when it's come to wide receiver. So that's why I think when we look at free agency, you want to go ahead and try and address that in free agency. And then if you get somebody in the draft, it's more of a luxury pick. Why? And I know you guys have written about DeSean Jackson and you've written about Pierre Garçon. And why has there not been more buzz on Kenny Britt? Is it that people don't think he's going to change team? I mean, this is a guy who's 6'4". He's 220 pounds. He put up pretty damn good stats with Jared Goff and Case Keenum throwing him the football for the Rams. Coming out of Rutgers, he was tremendous talent, had some baggage, obviously has put that baggage behind him, hasn't gotten in trouble. I don't know. He's 27 years old. He's 6'4", 220, as I said. He can stretch the field. I don't know why the guy's not getting more buzz heading into free agency.
Well, I think part of it is the offenses he played for. Now, granted, as you mentioned, they were garbage offenses, largely with garbage quarterbacks, largely. I mean, I'm not anti-Sam Bradford as so many people is. I'm not saying he's a Pro Bowler, but I think he's okay. Nothing more. He's okay. But you know, when you're the best receiver on a garbage offense, it kind of, you know, okay, how good can you be? For example, Brandon Marshall. When's the last time he had a decent quarterback throwing to him? Jay Cutler in Denver, I think. I mean, and so Britt, he's had one good year. Again, I understand he didn't have anybody throwing to him, but there's other receivers out there that have put up better production that had just as much garbage thrown to him. And I think, like you said, Britt, he seems to have gotten past his shaky past, but it was pretty shaky past. I think, but that has that has tainted him a little bit. I agree with that. So that may be why he's not getting any buzz. If he was that talented, I mean, even if he had garbage for quarterbacks, you know, at least show some production other than one year. And also the best year he had of his career happens to be a contract year. So, you know, that raises a red flag right there. Like, you know, maybe the Bucks can get him for the cheap. You know, he's got the measurables. There's no question about that. And it seems like you said he's put his shady past behind him. But is the past year, which he had a really good year, is that a outlier, or is that going to be, you know, the norm the next 4 or 5 years? The fact that he's 27 is a good sign. And I think that's why he's not getting a lot of run, because, like I said, there's other receivers, Brandon Marshall included, who have gotten good production with garbage quarterbacks. And Britt has had, to my knowledge, one good year with garbage quarterbacks. So, and it happens to be a contract year. So I think that's why he's not getting a whole lot of run. And the fact that he played in St. Louis and in Los Angeles, no one ever rarely saw him play. So that plays a factor as well.
Jason Light loves the bargain, though, right? I mean, so he might end up being I don't know. I view the guy as a guy in the prime of his career at a really nice size and probably not going to be as high-priced as some of these other guys. So I'll go ahead and ask you this. DeSean Jackson, is it DeSean Jackson? Let's play this game. Player of the field. Are the Bucks signing DeSean Jackson, or is it any other wide receiver in free agency?
You're teeing me up here for a good answer. I specifically, Wednesday, both Jason Light and Dirk Cutter had a private session with Tampa Bay reporters. So there's only four of us there, believe it or not, only four. And I asked Jason Light, it was kind of an awkward question, but I asked him, I said, you've got two free agent wide receivers, and these are the only two guys that are even interested in coming to the Bucks. One is a speed guy. I said, you can use whatever name you want to. I'll just throw out DeSean Jackson. And I said, he's the only speed guy that wants to come to you. It's him or it as far as speed. And the other guy is a pretty talented receiver, but he can't stretch the field. And his name, I'll use the name Pierre Garçon. You use whatever name you want. Player X, player Y. Player X is a speed guy. Player Y is a very good receiver, but he can't stretch the field. I said, are you so adamant that you want speed? It's speed or bust. And he said, no. He goes, you can add speed to an offense without having a speedy receiver. Okay. So that was interesting.
Yeah, so that is interesting. All right, let's keep playing this game. I kind of like this game. How about how about defensive line? Calais Campbell or the field?
Oh, I take my chance with Calais Campbell because I think he has everything Mike Smith wants a defensive lineman to be. A guy that's versatile, a guy that can clog the middle on the run, a guy that's proven to rush on the edge. You can float him all over the place. And let's be honest, the Bucs need another defensive end. Noah Spence very well may grow into the next Robert Ayers or even better. But, you know, he's showed some flashes, don't get me wrong, but he's still young. And he's coming off of shoulder surgery, so you know that's in the back of your mind. Is he going to be having nagging injuries all his career? So they still need a rush guy. And I'm sorry, I do not trust Jackie Smith. I have nothing against Jackie Smith, but if you can't get on the field, you're not dependable. If you can't get on the field, Jackie Smith has proven he cannot get on the field. That's nothing against him. That's just the way it is. And you can't bank on guys that are unbankable. And right now, he's unbankable. So to me, whatever Jackie Smith ever does with the Bucs is a complete luxury. You cannot depend on him. Just like, you know, I have some people on Twitter were saying, oh, how about Josh Gordon? Well, Josh Gordon's missed, I think, 43 of the last 48 games because of suspension. You can't bank on the guy. So I really believe, like you do, they need another defensive lineman. And actually, Cutter was talking about the two positions that scare him right now are safety and defensive tackle, because they have so many free agents at both positions. And Clinton McDonald is getting a bad rep. You know, I think his career is about done. I love the guy, love everything about him, except for the fact the last couple of years he can't barely get on the field. Mm-hmm. Can barely get on the field. And that's not a knock against him, because no player wants to get hurt. But you know what? I think as Bill Parcells said, your best ability is availability. If you can't get on the field, well, you know, then you can't help the team. So they really have to look at defensive tackle. And I think Calais Campbell is, he's perfect for just about any team, but specifically the Bucs, because Mike Smith, unlike his predecessor, is not beholden to a specific scheme. He's going to put players in positions to make plays, three front, four front, five front, two front, it doesn't matter. And I think a versatile guy like Calais Campbell is just what the doctor ordered.
Yep, Mike Smith was in Jacksonville when they had Big John Henderson and Marcus Stroud there in the middle. Two massive defensive tackles. Calais Campbell, 6'8", over 300 pounds, would fit that mold, put him right next to Gerald McCoy. And again, Gerald McCoy is a defensive tackle that really has never had that type of defensive tackle next to him. Good, decent.
No.
I mean, listen, Clinton McDonald, nice player, but you put a Calais Campbell next to him, we could really see Gerald McCoy take off. We could see the entire defensive line take off. And all of a sudden,
I agree,
a defense that was, dominant at the end of last year could become even more dominant for an entire year with that type of addition. Let me ask you this,
with McCoy, we saw glimpses of that against Seattle because the Bucs were able to get pressure, not just from McCoy, but from other people.
Yep.
And the entire offensive line of the Seahawks collapsed. And McCoy went nuts. And I think that was the McCoy all Bucs fans want to see. And the reason why they saw him is because other people were getting pressure too.
Calais Campbell, top priority for the Bucs in free agency?
Cutter would say no, but I think yes.
I would not argue that.
That's a good question. I'm not so sure I would, because to be honest with you, and I'm on the Calais Campbell bandwagon, don't get me wrong. But every time, you know, someone mentions, well, the Bucs need to draft defense rather than offense, I'm thinking, well, you know what? It wasn't the defense, because the defense wasn't the reason the Bucs missed the playoffs. It was Mike Evans or bust for the offense. Mm-hmm. That's the reason why the Bucs couldn't get into the playoffs. New Orleans is a perfect example. They had no offense in the second half of the game. They couldn't score. They couldn't move the ball. Because why? No weapons for Winston. And as much as I want to say get Campbell as a priority, let's put it this way. Priority 1B, I think, should be Campbell. Priority 1A should be a wide receiver. Priority 1B is Calais Campbell.
I think, and I'll continue to say, running back to me is one of the top priorities. To me, when I talk about the top positions of need for this team this offseason, wide receiver, defensive tackle, safety, depending on who they bring back at safety, and running back. And I think running back, because You want to get a good running game going because that's going to help Jameis even more in the play action Jameis is so good at play action, and you can't think that you're going to rely solely on Jacquizz Rodgers. You mentioned it before with Bernard Reedy. I mean, when guys are off the field, when guys are coming off the street, there's a reason that they're there in the first place, and that's where Jacquizz Rodgers was last year. You can't rely on Doug Martin. Running back is a priority for this team this offseason. You guys wrote on JoeBucksFan.com about Marlon Mack. He said the Buccaneers have spent a lot of time with him early on in this process. I made the mention earlier on in this podcast that I don't see, and I've watched more of Marlon Mack. I would put what I've seen of Marlon Mack over what anyone else has seen of Marlon Mack, since, of course, I work on USF's football broadcast. So I've seen every single game of Marlon Mack's USF career. He's not an every down back. He's not a back that's going to create yardage between the tackles. And he's not a great receiver, decent receiver, not a great receiver out of the backfield. He's a home run threat. Okay, he's a guy that I think if you have a two-back offense, you want one of those backs to be Marlon Mack. So with that being said, the Bucs showing some interest in him. Let me ask you this. What would you think, because so many people are locked in on Dalvin Cook, and I can ask you about Dalvin Cook in a moment, but what would you think of a backfield that consisted of, no, not Adrian Peterson, that's the popular name. Not
like me, that's a pipe dream.
Not Eddie Lacy. But what about like a Latavius Murray who played at UCF? He's a free agent coming out of Oakland, a guy more of a power back that can run between the tackles, and then getting somebody like Marlon Mack in the third round who's more of a home run threat as your 1-2 punch at wide receiver. Does that make sense for the Bucs?
Well, that could be the way they go. I do know this. Cutter said twice Wednesday. He said twice. He's never seen such a deep draft for running backs. Mm-hmm. And the fact that the Bucs need a running back, Cutter and Light will admit it, they need a running back because let's say everything turns out rosy for Doug Martin. Let's say he goes through his rehab, everything checks out perfectly, he's in perfect health, everything's ready to rock and roll, he's won over the Bucs. They say, all right, we'll keep you. He's gone after this year. Yeah. It's the last year of his contract. Even if he keeps this contract, his last guaranteed year is 2017, so he's gone.
Yeah.
They aren't going to keep him. You know, I know what the Bucs think. You know, 3 years ago, I had a long talk with Jason Light, and we talked about 15 minutes. He explained why, you know, running backs that push 30 or are over 30 are poison. I mean, he was talking about this 3 years ago. So I don't think he keeps Martin after this year for a variety of reasons. One, the data on running backs in 30 is damning. It's very damning. And, oh, by the way, with Adrian Peterson, I think it was Steve Dumig who put this out on Twitter. There's been like maybe 13 times a running back that's been 32 or over, like 13 times in NFL history gained 1,000 yards. In NFL history, it's like 90-some years, 95 years. So, yeah, the data on running backs over 30 and pushing 30 is very damning. So, Even if Martin, everything checks out perfectly about Doug Martin, they still need running backs because he's going to be gone. And if the draft is as deep as Cutter claims it is at running back, and the Bucs have a need for a running back, I would be shocked if they don't draft the running back. Now, where they draft one, that's a whole different ballgame. Now, I've heard that Kansas City is hot in the pants over Marlon Mack as well, not just the Bucs, but Kansas City also, and they need a running back. You know, they're getting rid of Jamal Charles.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting right there. You know, everybody, I think, loved it. Yesterday, I know we were recording this on Friday night. Yesterday, Thursday, the entire buzz of the draft was not so much Marlon Mack, although he said the Bucs talked to him a lot. So that got people worked up, you know, Bucs fans, Bucs reporters. You know, that got everybody's attention. But the huge buzz was when Dalvin Cook said his dream is to be reunited with Jameis in Tampa Bay. And first, that was the buzz of the room when Dalvin Cook said, that's my dream. I want to reunite with Jameis. But when is the last time, and maybe you spoke about this earlier, when is the last time a top player in a draft at his position says, I want to come to Tampa Bay? When have you ever heard that?
That's what America's quarterback does for us, doesn't it?
Yeah. You know what? Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to have this interview maybe next week or something. I was talking to Peter Schrager today of Fox Sports, and he basically said the same thing. He said Tampa is a destination, and the reason for that is it's Jameis. And he was telling me that, he goes, Jameis may be one of the most popular players in NFL circles. I mean, and I asked him, what do you mean by that? He goes, within the NFL community, the players, they love Jameis, but not just on the Bucs, but elsewhere. And he said, and he worked, again, Peter Schrager works sidelines for Fox Sports. He also works NFL Network, Good Morning Football, you know, where everybody yells at each other because they've had five cups of coffee. And I don't blame them. They got to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
I would too.
But Peter Schrager said he's on the sidelines before the games watching this with his own eyes. He said virtually every player on opposing team comes out to shake hands with Jameis. That's how popular he is. And we were about to talk, you know, I think it was Jacina Anderson a couple weeks ago, or last week, actually. She put out a Twitter that, you know, DeSean Jackson may come to the Bucs because he was a rapport with Jameis. And then Jameis said, well, I met him once. Peter Schrager was saying, and I think it was Cutter that told me this, too. Either Cutter or Wright, one of the two, but I know Peter Schrager also did. Jameis has a rapport with a boatload of guys in the NFL that are not on the Bucs. So I just think it's interesting that, like you said, America's quarterback, people want to play with America's quarterback. And I just cannot remember the last time a top shelf player in the draft said, I want to play for the Bucs. Times are changing, folks.
It's an exciting time because not only do players want to come here to play with Jameis, but they want to come here, I think, because the Bucs are on a team on the rise because of Jameis as well. So you're not just coming here to lose anymore. You're coming here to be part of something special, and that's what comes with a 9-7 season. You end with a winning record. You went on that stretch there in November where it was the Bucs were the team, the team in the NFL for a stretch of 5 games. It was very exciting, and hopefully that's just a precursor of what's to come. Lee, give me
Peter Schrager today, you know, when I was talking to Peter Schrager, he said, look, he goes, the Bucs had Dallas on the ropes in the second half. He goes, the Bucs pull out that game. Instead of people talking about the Cowboys making a Super Bowl run, all of a sudden it's the Bucs making a Super Bowl run.
Yeah, and they might not be as far away as maybe we thought heading into last season, and that excites me as a fan. I know it excites you as a fan as well. Lee, as we wrap things up, give me one free agent the Bucs are going to sign and one player at this combine over the weekend that the Bucs are locked in on and there's a good chance that they draft. Can you think of one player that you believe they're going to sign in free agency and one of the guys that you feel, man, they're really locked in on this guy. They're going to find a way to draft this guy.
Well, I get the sense the Bucs are going to go all in on DeSean Jackson. Now, whether he comes here, that's a different story. I just get the sense just from listening to Cutter talk about, they need a receiver, And, Light will talk about, he admits that they need some speed as well. I just get the sense they're going to go all in on DeSean Jackson. Whether that happens or not, I don't know. And I was talking to people before I came up here for the combine, that I know Marlon Mack got the Bucs' attention in the past. I know that. Now, how attention enough to draft him, I don't know. But throwing the fact, when Marlon Mack said, I've talked to the Bucs a lot, teams don't waste time on players they're not interested in. They may interview a guy once, maybe twice, but after that, unless they have serious interest, they're not going to waste their time on you. There's too many other players to worry about. And I'll give you an example. 2 years ago at the combine, I was sitting next to a big old offensive tackle from Penn State that looked like he was going to be in the fourth round. And I asked him, I said, have the Bucs talked to you? And he looked at me, he goes, many times. He goes, they even had their offensive line coach work me out. Who was that Penn State tackle? His name was Donovan Smith. Who drafted him? The Bucs. So when Marlon Mack, the fact that I knew that he was on the Bucs' radar, I guess that's the best way to say it. He was on their radar. I know that. And then when Marlon Mack said he's spoken a lot, and then throw this in there, if the Bucs do draft him, no team's going to know more about him than the Bucs. And the reason why is, the Bucs are allowed to bring 30 guys for in-house visits, so to speak. Like they brought in Jameis, they brought in Mariota, and guys they're heavily interested in. They bring him in for a day, and they give him another workout, and they put him on the whiteboard, and give him all kinds of mind tests, things of that nature. Well, that doesn't apply with Marlon Mack. If a guy plays for a college or is from a area within like a 30-mile radius of the NFL team, it might be a 50-mile radius. You can talk to him and bring him in as many times as you want. The only time that 30 person visit applies if they live outside the immediate area of the NFL team. And I can't remember what the radius is. So Matt, they can bring that son of a gun in every day if they want to. So I would not be surprised at all if they draft Mac. Obviously, you know, who knows? Maybe Kansas City or some other team is infatuated with Mac. They trade up and they grab him. So, but if I was going to put my money that Mac was with the Bucks, I'll put my money if I was going to bet. If I put a gun to my head, say you got to lay cash and give me the odds, I would say Mac, and I would say they heavily target DeSean Jackson. I don't know if that's both those guys are going to happen, but from what I gather, those two guys right now, Bucks fans want to kind of keep pay attention to.
You heard it here first. Tom Jones, go ahead and write a column on that, and let's create a stir. Lede Kemper has said that DeSean Jackson and Marlon Mack will be in Buccaneer uniforms next season. Is that all right with you, Lee?
Well, I hope so. I don't know. I'm not, like I said, I'll lay money that they go after him. I'm not going to say they absolutely get him, but I know they're going to make a hell of a run at DeSean Jackson, and it sure smells like that they've got Mac on their crosshairs.
That's not how the newspaper operates, Lee. You know that. They like to make a mountain
out
of a molehill.
Absolutely, yeah.
Good stuff, as always, Lede Kemper up there in Indianapolis for the Scouting Combine. Lee, enjoy the rest of the weekend, and looking forward to reading all your stuff at joebucksfan.com.
Justin, I can't tell you how appreciative I am and Steve is about our partnership, and I it sounds like it's working for you. I certainly know it's working for us, and there isn't a day that goes by that we're not happy and proud that we're partners again. And I just think it's awesome, and I just hope it continues to grow like a weed.
Well, I've told you this numerous times, but when you guys launched the site, I'm happy to say that I was one of the first interviews you were on.
You were.
Or that I had you on my radio show at the time, and I've been a believer in JoeBucksFan.com since the inception. I thought it was exactly what the actual organization needed. Just kind of a central hub of Bucks news rather than you just trying to make the news yourself. But it's also like, hey, let me take, you know, let's just make it so that, hey, if you're a Bucks fan and you want to read about the Bucks, but this is the place to come because we're going to give you our own commentary, but we're also going to give you everyone else's as well. And it was perfect. It was the ProFootballTalk.com for Bucks fans, and it has just exploded over time. I knew eventually that I had to be a part of it. I'm glad I get to do this podcast and be a part of it. The podcast has taken off. The reason the podcast has taken off is because I'm with such a great site. The partnership is fantastic, and it doesn't help that the Buccaneers are on the rise, or it does help that the Buccaneers are on, or it doesn't hurt. It helps. Sorry, I had my B4 and then I had a nice drink. It's a Friday night, so this is how we operate. It doesn't hurt. It does help that the Buccaneers are on the rise as well. Lee, always appreciate it. We will have you on again
you.
As we get into free agency and as we get closer to the draft as well. So I appreciate it, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, thanks again, Justin. I appreciate it. You have a good weekend.
All right, you too. Lede Kemper, JoeBucksFan.com, and we love being on JoeBucksFan.com. Over an hour for you. Is that good enough for you stick carriers? You just grabbing your stick for over an hour? What's all that about? Come on. That's some incredible information. So I hope the Bucks fans that are listening to this podcast right now can appreciate the information overload we just provided to you. JoeBucksFan.com, that's where the podcast starts. Mondays, Wednesdays, Saturday mornings. First come, first serve at JoeBucksFan.com. If you subscribe on iTunes, Podcast Addict, or Podbean, and you want the podcast downloaded directly to your phone without you having to worry about it, it'll happen at noon on Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday. It's that simple. So we appreciate that. Follow me on Twitter, @CommissOnline, Facebook.com/CommissOnline, Instagram, CommissOnline, and Snapchat, Justin Pulowski. Appreciate you downloading and listening to the Bucks Uncensored podcast. Go ahead and give us a rating. This episode, a rating on iTunes, and spread the word. Let's continue to build stick carriers throughout the Tampa Bay area and worldwide. As always, we always end with us speaking softly. Speak softly and carry that big motherfucking stick. Nailed it.